Here we go. Today is the 2nd of Kislev, the 20th of November, and we're boldly trying to approach Belineta toward the end of Sefer Yonah and to see what lessons we learn from the ending of this story. Hope to share some insights today that I hope you'll find meaningful. Just to review a little bit what we saw last week, there is a difference of opinion, apparently, between the Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud, the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, as to the extent of the tshuva done by the people of Nineveh. We got more into this last week, but the Bavli, which is usually the Gemara which we follow, seems to say they did a very thorough tshuva, even to the degree of returning stolen things that they had already built into the house, even though Beis Hillel made an institution, you don't have to do that. Technically, if you steal a beam and build it into your house, you should have to knock down the whole house to give back the beam. The Gemara tells us that we have a takanos hashovim, an institution to promote tshuva, that we don't require a person to do that. He can just compensate for it and not knock down his house. The Gemara talks about that very selfless type of tshuva, that in order to do tshuva, the people of Nineveh would even return a beam that had been built into the house. So the Bavli clearly is implying that they did a very thorough tshuva. By the way, we read Maftir Yonah, we read the book of Yonah on Yom HaKippurim before Ne'ilah, and then in Ne'ilah there's a striking line of doing tshuva, particularly from monetary wrongdoing. L'man nechdal me'oshek yadena, that we should desist from oshek, from things that involve monetary wrongdoing to others, and there's a connection there. But their tshuva was especially in the realm of theft and extortion, things they had done wrong in Choshen Mishpat and monetary law. We saw the Yerushalmi seems to assume that they did a much more minimal tshuva. Most of the commentators go with the latter approach. At any rate, we're going to see today, their tshuva is not considered to be the clincher. I'm jumping around, I'm sorry, I'm a little... I'm tzeflogen today, but it's hard, it mixes it all together, it's fine. But for example, the Abarbanel is going to make the point that when Yonah is upset that Hashem forgave them, if you're familiar with the psukim at the end, which we'll read soon, Hashem says, how could I not have, you had mercy on this plant, we'll talk about the plant soon, how could I not have mercy on a huge city that has so many people and so many animals that don't know from right from left, which might mean they don't know right from wrong. What does Hashem not say? How could I not forgive them? They did tshuva. Ever notice that? You read the book of Yonah, Hashem doesn't say, how could I not forgive them? They did tshuva. So at one rate or other, it doesn't seem that it's their tshuva that carried the day. I'm jumping right to the punchline here, because Chava threw down the gauntlet and said, what's the takeaway from Sefer Yonah? I think a big takeaway is that you look at the people of the boat, you look at the people of Nineveh, their tshuva is accepted and does what it has to do with minimal... the boat is being tossed about, they call out, and then they realize, no, there's only one God. Okay, yeah, this prophet from the Hebrews has told us there's one God. Good. What should we do? Throw me off the boat. Okay, good. They're done. Should we get involved in helping your tshuva? No. We made this point earlier. When they said, can we bring you back to dry land? Hashem didn't let it happen. They tried, and Hashem didn't let it happen. What he's saying is, the people of the boat, your tshuva is a minimal tshuva. Recognizes one God, we're done. The people of Nineveh, they did according, again, to the Yerushalmi, and this is the way the Mefarshim seem to take it largely, because we'll see this is what upsets Yonah. They did only a partial tshuva, good enough. But in contrast to that, Yonah is the Ivri Anochi. He's the Jew. And what Hashem is saying, there are different people in this world, and for them, a minimal tshuva is enough. But I want you. You have a very different calling. And for you, I expect much more. That's what you see when he is on the boat, and that's what you see in the end of the story. And that's going to be an important theme.
But maybe the thing, too, is also to have compassion on people that are... to have compassion...
Yeah, see, that's the
on
push
all
of
human beings, right, because yeah, every life is precious.
Yeah, I mean, just from the simplest reading we're going to see at the end, Hashem says, how could I not have mercy?
Right.
You felt bad when you lost the plant that was giving you shade. How could I not have mercy? But I'm trying to read it at a deeper level.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Now, I've mentioned to you, the Malbim was a 19th century gaon, almost unbelievable gaon, most often uses the Abarbanel as his base shot. Occasionally he disagrees with him extremely sharply, but he holds the Abarbanel to be the master parshan, and therefore often he quotes him. You'll see he says, Kas of Mahari, it's Mem He Resh Yud Aleph, it's Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel. Yud Aleph stands for Yitzchak Abarbanel. In some places he doesn't even bother. It's so clear he's going with his approach that he is basically paraphrasing the Abarbanel straight. With minor exception, the Malbim adopts the Abarbanel's approach to the end of the story. What we have to deal with today is what gets Yonah so upset. All right, he didn't want to go on the shlichus. He thought he could run away from it. He gets swallowed by the fish. He gets taught a big lesson in one fish and the other, which we spoke about, tefillah and Torah, or Torah and tefillah in two fish respectively. Now, but then he's willing. In fact, as the Mefarshim point out, at the end of his tefillah, or at the end of the tefillah that he says, which might be after the tefillah, he says, I'm going to carry out what I promise. And Chazal say he wasn't let go until he said that. So Yonah was committed to the task. So then he goes to Nineveh, and they do tshuva, and apparently he knew Baruch HaKodesh, according to most, that Hashem had forgiven them, or according to some, he waited till the 40th day and doesn't see an upheaval. So he knows Hashem had forgiven them, and he gets all upset. So everybody asks the question, what surprised you? You had a change of heart, orchestrated by being in the fish, and this is what you committed to. So why are you upset again? So that is the big question. According to the Abarbanel, which is the Derech of the Malbim as well, he thought Hashem is sending me to summon them to do tshuva. They're going to have to do full tshuva, or they're not going to be forgiven. So Yonah's thinking was like this. He was originally upset because, again, this is the approach of the Abarbanel. He knew that Ashur, Nineveh is the capital of Ashur, is eventually going to be big problems for the Jewish people. So I am being sent as a shliach to do something for Hashem that ultimately is going to be bad for the Jewish people. He's very unhappy with that. What seems to turn around when Hashem shows him, when I send you on a shlichus, you go whether you like it or not, whether it seems to you like a good thing or not. But what he thought, at least, was, okay, at least I'm going to bring about tshuva. Fine, the Jewish people are going to have to suffer sometime in the future, and I'm at some level sustaining the rod that's going to strike them. I'm sustaining Ashur. But at least Hashem is sending me to be a catalyst for these Gentile nations to do tshuva. At least I'm going to do that. And then what happens is they don't do it tshuva. According to the Abarbanel, Malbim, they continue to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They continue to be idolaters. But the Ibn Ezra has a unique approach that they were actually a God-fearing nation, and this was an aberration in their behavior. Most don't go with that. Most say this is an idolatrous group. And so when it says they do tshuva, they didn't do a full tshuva. So that's what Yonah is so upset about. What Yonah is so upset about is, what did I do here? It's not good for the Jewish people. I thought at least I would bring about that some human beings on earth would become God-fearing and return to Hashem. I didn't even do that. So it's nice. They did tshuva. They gave back things they had stolen. According to the Bavli, apparently more thoroughly than the Yerushalmi, whatever it is, but they did some level of tshuva. But they have not done a tshuva shleima. Again, as I said, the Abarbanel emphasizes that even when Hashem argues the case for them, he doesn't say they did tshuva, which seems to indicate they didn't do such a great tshuva. So Yonah says, well, what am I alive for? What's the purpose? Take my life. I don't know, this is not what I intended to do, but I'm saying everything outside, then we'll read the psukim inside. In pedagogy, you usually do it the other way, but
sorry,
we can do what we want.
Sorry.
We can do what we want. The Alshech HaKadosh, the very holy Rav Moshe Alshech, whose commentary on Tanakh is a great gift to us, takes something slightly a different way. If you look in the Pasuk, at the beginning of Perek Dalet, It's just said that they put on sackcloth and the king... I'm going to summarize here. Let's step back before we get to the Alshech. In Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet, Yonah came in, one day's travel, we spoke about this last time, he said in 40 days Nineveh will be overturned. Pasuk Hay says the people of Nineveh trusted in Hashem and they called a tzom, a day of gathering and fasting, and they put on sackcloth from Gedolam Ad Ketanam. Remind me to quote something from the Beis Elokim shortly about that, but they're doing tshuva. Okay, or at least they're calling a day of fasting. When it says they believed in Hashem, the Ibn Ezra quotes from a Rabbi Yeshua, who says that the people of the boat actually made their way to Nineveh and basically said, this Yonah man, we recommend you listen to him. We've seen things.
Who said that?
Ibn Ezra quotes an earlier source, a Rabbi Yeshua, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see if I can find it. I can't find it now. But the later Sfarim quoted also that the people of... and that's because it's a little bit difficult why they were so quick to trust him. And so there's an opinion that the people from the boat made it over. They got there, and therefore Yonah had great credibility. But anyway, that's one explanation. But they trusted Yonah, and they did tshuva. And then Pasuk Vav, it says, the matter reached the king of Nineveh. Some of Farshim say that his dwelling was actually outside of the city. That's why he's later. And he takes off his royal cloak, and he puts on sackcloth, and he sits in the ashes. By the way, the Malbim points out a simple parallel in Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, which says that the matter reached the king of Nineveh. He got up from his chair, and he took off his royal cloak, and he covered himself in sackcloth, and he sat on the ground, cloak to sackcloth, throne to ground. Malbim always points out parallels. It's ABBA. He's replacing his royal clothing and his royal seat with sackcloth instead of royal clothing and sitting on the ground. And it was called out Nineveh from the advice or guidance of the king. Mitam Hamelech Ugedolov. I'm in Pasuk Zion now. From the king, the guidance of the king and his great ones. Then man and animal can't eat anything. Svarim point out, usually on a fast, if you eat a minimal amount, you actually haven't violated the fast. Here they not ma'uma, not to eat anything. The Medrash says they actually, and this question is with Tzar Bala Chaim, here they actually didn't allow the animals to nurse. They put everybody's going to be in a state of austere pain until we get this worked out, which was to rouse the people to tshuva. And even the animals put on sackcloth. Svarim asked what animals don't care what they wear. Some say this means the royal animals, the animals that otherwise would have been cloaked in like the finery that escorts the king, they put sackcloth on instead. It was more in terms of the pomp of the king that they were reducing. And Pasuk Tes says, Mi Yodeya Yashuv. There's a couple ways of understanding that, but most take it as anybody who knows something should do tshuva. If you know something you've done wrong, Mi Yodeya, one who knows, Yashuv, should do tshuva. Others say it's like, who knows, maybe if we do tshuva, Hashem will accept our tshuva. And in Pasuk Yud, Vayar HaElokim Es Ma'aseyam, Hashem saw their actions. So there's a famous drasha of Chazal that Hashem is not impressed with fasting and talking about tshuva, he's impressed with doing tshuva, and it's a positive thing. Hashem saw their actions. Right? Sometimes we get caught up in the trappings, we're fasting, and we're donning sackcloth, okay, but that's all supposed to bring us to change our ways, so this is a good thing. But Yalakas Ma'aseyim, so they changed their ways. At a pshat level, though, some of the Mefarshim say, what they changed were their ways, civilly, as I said before. If they had stolen, they fixed it. They became more of a just society. But the fact that they were still pagan and didn't believe in Hashem, it doesn't say they changed their amunos and their deos. And again, according to the Abarbanel and the Malbim and numerous others, that's the problem here. Hashem accepts their tshuva, v'yinochem alokim. I've mentioned many times, the shorash nachem in Hebrew is not really so translatable in English because it means comfort. It also means to change one's mind, and we've said because in the Torah's idea, comforting somebody means getting them to change the way they think, change the way they feel. So, God is not like man who changes his mind. The word nachem is used to mean change your mind. How does offering comfort and changing your mind mean the same thing? Because what they really mean is getting a person to change the way they feel. That's why you'll see nachem having a broader connotation than the word comforting in English. So Hashem just kivayochel changed his mind. He decided not to do the bad v'loas, and he didn't do it. Again, some say the way Yonah knew that is that he waited out the 40 days and there's no destruction of Nineveh. Some say he's a Navi and he got a message he sensed that Hashem had forgiven him. So Perek Dalet, Vayera el Yonah ro'o gedola vayichar lo. It was very bad to Yonah, a great badness. Yonah's in a very bad state. The matter was very bad to Yonah, vayichar lo. And he was upset. So we have two terms. So the way I got into all this was I started to quote the Alshuch. Rav Moshe Alshuch, the Alshuch HaKadosh, says it's interesting that it says two things, Vayera and Vayicharlo. It was bad for Yonah and he was very upset. That's question one. Question two, why is he about to daven Hashem take my life? Everybody asks this question. In fact, the Malbim has some very strong words the way he asks the question. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, I'm like, is there a shaita in the world who would say, who talks to God and says, take my life? What kind of thing is that to say, much less from a Navi? So question two is, why is he asking Hashem to take his life? And then we're going to find in Pasuk Dalid, Hashem says, Ha-Heitev Charalach, which could be translated as, is it good, is it appropriate that you're upset? Ha-Heitev Charalach, is it good you're upset? And Yonah doesn't answer him. Later he has the same question and Yonah answers it. But here, Ha-Heitev Charalach, Ha-Heitev, is it well that you're upset? And Yonah does not answer. The Alshech HaKadosh has a very interesting approach to all this. Oh, and one other thing. When Hashem asks him that, he doesn't say, Ha-Heitev Charalach V'Heralach. The Navi used two verbs for Yonah's being upset. It was bad to him, and he was upset. V'Heralo V'Yichar, or Charalo. Why does Hashem only reference one? Okay. So the Alshech, in answering all of this, has, I think, is his own novel approach. Yonah was upset at himself for being upset. Uh-huh. Yonah sees Hashem is forgiving them, and I can't take this. This is bad for the Jewish people. And these Anshei Nineveh didn't even do tshuva, and I can't take it. But he knows this is the will of Hashem. But this is overwhelming for me. Hashem, you're the master of the universe. I'm a Navi, I know it. But I can't take this. This is painful, intolerable, and it bothers him that he can't come to terms with Hashem's decree. And he says, you know what, there's something off with me. I'm getting worse and worse. I can't accept Hashem's running the world when I don't understand it, and that's the worst state to be in, and I'm only going to get worse. So he says, take my life before I get worse. Hashem, I'm at odds with you, and it's no good. Take my life while I'm still a tzaddik. I'm reading from the Alshech now. Vim arich yomim ulai echeta kasher ani maskel shehera li al ma'asecha. If I live longer, I might sin because I'm upset with your actions and I can't come to terms with it. So then, when Hashem says to him, Ha'itev charalach, this is where the Alshech takes it. Kolomer halo yeroscha al shehera lach al mesha asisi. The fact that you're upset about what I did, shehu avon al tochash al zeh, don't worry about it. Ki hine ha-heitev ha-ribu humasha charalach. Heitev charalach. It's not a question. I don't know what he does with the hey at the beginning, but he says, I think actually there are places where it's like that, used that way. The fact that you're upset, that's That's your tshuva. That's okay. Which is a fascinating thing. It's as if Hashem is saying that a person can struggle with coming to terms with Hashem's running of the world, as long as you're upset about it. If it bothers me that I can't come to grips with it, then that's acceptable. If you weren't bothered by it, Yonah, then I'd be concerned. Like sometimes you have this with people. The person says, I'm all upset because I'm no good. And you say to the person, because you realize you're no good, that's why you're good. If you weren't catching to me, I'd be worried. But because you're grappling with it, which is a profound insight in life, as long as we're struggling with it and we're not at this, oh, no problem, then actually that's okay. So according to the Auschwitz, that's what Hashem says to him. It's not always easy. Man, you struggle with the will of Hashem. I am greater than you. My thoughts are in heaven, you're on earth, and you therefore can't come. You get your head around it. If you think you can, and you know better than me, then we have a problem. But if you're struggling with it, you're okay. No need to take your life. Yonah, it's okay. Just stay there. That is the Alshuk's unique interpretation, really based on the fact that it's Chara and Vayera, which I thought is interesting to share. Again, I'm working backwards. I explained before I read, but let me read it inside. Perek Dal Pasagala Vayera Yonah Ro Gadol Vayichelo. It was bad to Yonah, a great badness, and he was very upset. Pasuk Beis Vayispala Lo Hashem, and he davened to Hashem Vayomar, and he said, Ana Hashem. Please, Hashem, halo zed devari ad heyosi al admasi. Were these not my words while I was still on my land? Al ken kidamti levroach tarshisha. That's why I hastened to run away to Tarshish. Ki yodati, because I knew. Ki ata kel chanun v'rachum, that you are a favorable and merciful God. Erech apayim, long-winded, v'rav chesed, and abundant chesed. V'nicham al ra'a, and you change your mind. Over bed, you decide not to carry out bed. I knew this would happen. Again, the big question is, well, if you knew this was happening, we thought you came to grips with it after the fish. The answer, according to the Barban on the Maldim, is, but he thought at least they would do a full tshuva. He wasn't expecting that they could do only a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro type of tshuva and not realign themselves with Hashem and still find forgiveness. By the way, quoted a number of times that the Vilna Gaon has a commentary that interprets the whole Sefer Yonah Bederech Remez, you know, as allusions. Certainly it happened, but also it has symbolic meaning. And let me just share a little bit of what he says, because I'll read ahead to do that. But Pasuk Gimel, he says, Ve'ato Hashem, now Hashem, kachna es nafshi mimeni, take my soul from me. Ki tov mosi mechayai, because my death is better than my life. You'll recall from our introductory shir, when we spoke about this, since this is the child whom Eliyahu Hanavi had revived from the dead, when he says tov mosi mechayai, he's speaking from experience, not from theory. Chazal make that point. And then Hashem says, Pasuk Dal, Vayomer Hashem ha'itev charelach. I'm jumping all over the place, but the Ibn Ezra quotes a pshat that he doesn't like, which he quotes a yefes. The Ibn Ezra sometimes quoted scholars, sometimes even Karaite scholars, often to lambast them, occasionally to say they got it right, but he quotes the contemporary, so the Ibn Ezra here quotes yefes, and he disagrees, but other Mepharshim, I think Sfarno and others, actually do interpret it this way. Does it bother you when I do good? Ha-heitev? Charelach means you're upset. Ha-heitev means, does it bother you when I do good to people? So I forgave you. Like, you know, we look down on people who can't see another guy having it good. Does it bother you when I forgive people? It bothers you when I do good? The Malbim takes this pasuk differently, in what I think is his own shot. Again, he generally is going with the Abarbanel here, but occasionally explains something differently. The Malbim is willing to interpret words in a pasuk in a way that doesn't sound like the simple reading, in places where the simple reading is difficult. And the Malbim explains as follows. There's a rule with Nevuah. The Torah talks about a Navi Sheker. A Navi who comes along and says something's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, he's a Navi Sheker. So there's a basic rule that if it's a positive thing, Navi comes and says, in the name of Hashem, I'm telling you a good thing is going to happen, and then it doesn't come true, so he's a false prophet. But if it's a negative thing, then he's not a false prophet. Why?
Because they may have done tshuva.
Right, exactly, because they may have done tshuva. The generally, when a negative prognostication is offered, a negative telling of the future is given, it's because this is what's going to happen if you don't do tshuva. They're telling them something as a warning. But it's meant for you to do tshuva and fix it. So, according to the Malbim, Hashem is speaking to Yonah, and Mefarshim get into this, that Yonah was concerned, even Chazal talk about this, Yonah was concerned about being construed as a false prophet, a Navi Shekhar. He says something and it doesn't happen. So Hashem says to him, Ha-Heitev, Charalach, if you would have been predicting something good, then you should be upset if I cancel it, because now I've made you a false prophet. But you were predicting something bad. You were telling them Nineveh was going to be destroyed. If Nineveh is going to be destroyed and it doesn't happen, that doesn't make you a false prophet. It doesn't make you a Navi Shekhar. It just means they did tshuva. So what are you getting upset about? That's the Malbim's approach. Pasuk Hey, Vayeta Yonah min ha'ir. Yonah went out of the city, didn't want to be among the Nineveh people. Vayeshev mikedem la'ir, and he lived outside the city. Vayas lo shom sukkah. Made for himself there a sukkah. Vayeshev tachteha batzel, and he sat under it in the shade. Ad asher yireh mayyeh bo'ir, until he would see what would be with the city. According to some of the Mefarshim, he thought, even if Hashem has forgiven them and they're not going to be destroyed, at least there'll be something bad. You know, at least their team will lose in the college football or something, you know. At least something bad will happen there. He's waiting to see, at least something shouldn't go their way. And then, Pasuk Vav, Vayiman Hashem Elokim Kikayon, Hashem summoned, appointed, so the same word we have with the fish, a kikayon, which we don't know exactly what kind of plant it is, but it's some kind of plant that provides a great deal of shade. Vaya'al me'al liyona, it went up above Yonah, lios tzel al rosho. The sukkah was apparently insufficient, or only gave shade from one side, so now he has this kikayon which really protects him. Vahatzil lo me'ra'aso, to save him from his bed. From the bad state that he's in. The Ibn Ezra cites a pshat that his time in the fish made his skin sensitive. Interesting.
This kind of comfort him, though. The plant comforted him.
Yeah, it protected him. Vayismach Yonah al-kikayon simcha gedola. And Yonah rejoiced over the kikayon, a great joy. Now, some of the Farshim say, here he's starting to see siyata d'shmaya. All right, I'm very upset. This is not what I expected to happen. Now I've done nothing good. I've maintained Nineveh, which is ultimately going to be a problem for the Jewish people, and I haven't brought about tshuva of Nineveh, so what in the world, what is my purpose? I'm very upset, but I'm going to watch outside the city. See, maybe it's not as rosy as it looks. And then while he's dwelling there, Hashem makes this plant grow, all in one day, as we see shortly. So this is his first moment of divine help. He said, oh, it must be, yeah, the good is coming. Look, the Hashem's looking out for me. Basically, miracles are happening for me. So at this point, Yonah has a glimmer of hope. That's the simcha. You read it, it sounds as if like Yonah is rejoicing over the plant. He's rejoicing over what the plant represents, what it indicates to him of Hashem's will or Hashem being ready to show him what he wants. But then, Vayimana Elokim Tolas, Balos HaShachar, when the morning started, Lamacharas, the next day, he summoned like a worm. Vatachas HaKikayon Vayivash. It struck the Kikayon, and it dried up. So early morning, the Kikayon ceases. It disintegrates. Vayihik, Pasuk Ches, Vayihik Kizroach HaShemesh. It was as the sun shone. Vayimana Elokim Ruach Kodim Charishis, Vatach HaShemesh Al Rosh Yonah. So Hashem summons this very strong east wind. And the sun is striking Yonah Vayisalof, and he was faint. Vayishalis nafsholamus, and he asked his soul to die. Vayomer, and he said, Tov Mosi mechayoi, my death is better than my life. Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Elokim al Yonah, and Hashem says to Yonah, Hahitev charalacha lekikayon. So again, this same question, which, according to some of the Pshatim I've mentioned, is difficult because the second time it doesn't seem to mean what it sounded like the first time. But is it appropriate? Is it good that you were upset over the Kikayon? Vayomer, and he said, Hey Tev Charali Ad Maves. Yeah, it's good. It's appropriate that I was upset to death. So what does that mean? So a number of the Mefarshim say that Hashem was trying to show him that he doesn't mean what he says. He says, take my life. If I say to Hashem, take my life, and then suddenly the sun is beating down on me and it's going to kill me, and the Kikayon spares me from that, so I shouldn't be happy about the Kikayon. And then when the Kikayon disappears, gets stricken and disappears, and now my life is back in danger again, I shouldn't be upset. Yonah, I thought you said, take my life. Is it Yonah, as we say in Gemara, Lushitoska, according to the position you claim to have, is it appropriate that you're upset about the Kikayon? Like giving him a lesson like, life is more valuable, even you believe life is more valuable, even in the worst circumstances than you're letting on. And Yonah responds, according to a number of the Mefarshim, Heitev Charali Ad Mavis. It's a painful idea to think about, but it's one that the Gemara talks about. We talk about serving Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. There's a Vilna going on b'chol nafshecha about this, but that sometimes, God forbid, suffering is worse than death. When Yonah says, I rejoice over the Kikayon, and I mourn over its loss, even though I just said to you, please take my life, the answer is, because so long as I am alive, I can't take the suffering. Yonah says, death I can take. Yonah at this point thinks that he's caused more harm than good. He hasn't brought about tshuva. He's brought about what's ultimately going to be this, a problem for the Jewish people through Ashur. So, take my life. But in the interim, suffering, God forbid, I'll talk about it. Sometimes suffering can be worse for a person than death. So, heitev charali ad maves. Yeah, I'm upset about it until I die. If I die, it'll be fine. But if I'm suffering from this terrible son, then I prefer to have the kikayon. Hashem's lesson to him is not over yet. But I mentioned a second ago, I want to just cite for you the Vilna Gaon, who takes all of this, or shows it to us, how we can take all of this at a Remez level, says, and again, it's about the soul not doing its job in life and coming back. So when it says, Vayera el Yonah ra'a gedola, this is a little heavy, but we can take it, right? Mm-hmm. Says the Gaon, it's talking about a neshama that comes back and has a more challenging circumstance. It's very bad for him with the lack of food and other things. He's living a very austere life. And the Gemara refers to tzaddik v'ralo, a righteous person who has it bad, as being a tzaddik ben rasha. Tzaddik, the son of a Rasha. When you read the Gemara Pashat, it sounds like a tzaddik who's the child of a Rasha can have it bad. The Kabbalah tells us it means a tzaddik who's coming back as a Gilgal from something the first time around that wasn't good. He's a tzaddik now, but I'm teaching Kabbalah now. See that? You weren't expecting it on a Monday morning. But tzaddik ben Rasha, at a deeper level, doesn't mean tzaddik is a child of a Rasha, it means tzaddik is a product of a Rasha. And this Gilgal, and this time around, he's a tzaddik, he's a full tzaddik, but there's something from the past that was Russia, so now that this Gilgal is very difficult.
Isn't that an imperfect tzaddik, or is that a perfect tzaddik?
He's a perfect tzaddik now, but we're looking at his circumstance and wondering why it's so difficult. And the answer is a tikkun for something from before, tzaddik ben Russia. So that tzaddik in this circuit could be so challenging that Vayeril is very bad. I'm reading from the Gaon now. Some people are able to earn their ruchnius and their zechuyos without such a challenged circumstance. Maybe in the first time around, and there are challenges, and they rise to them, and they do it, and it's okay. This one is starting with a very compromised, a very adverse set of circumstances, and it's difficult. It looks around, right? It's hard for us to understand. When he davens and he says, Hashem, this is what I said while I was still on my land. Hashem, isn't this what I said to you while I was still on my land? Says the Vilna Gaon, Achsha Amarti Shebezeknusi Yamecha Lefnei Misasi Ashev. Hashem, I meant to do tshuva while I was still on land. I thought I would still have time. Because Kiyata Mekavel Tshuva Zeshav B'yom Echad. Because you accept tshuva even on the last day. A person can do a very number one. One day can do tshuva. Achsha Nitrifa Ashav V'lo Yecholti Loshuv Ad Bo Zman Ad Yosi Ad Masi. But this, things happen, I never had that chance. So it's the person saying, Hashem, I wanted to do tshuva the first time around when I was still al admasi. I thought I still had time, but I didn't have time. It's complaining to Hashem, and that's why this is when. That's why I hurried to run away to Tarshish. That's why I ran away from you in my youth, because I thought there'd be more time. Chilling way of reading the words of Yonah. But I just want to share with you. I can't go through the whole thing, but the Gaon says the whole symbolism of the sun. The sun refers to mazel, being stuck under certain mazel. Hashem, just like he has a natural system, he has a system of mazalos, and a person can be stuck in a situation of bad mazel by Hashem's decree that that's where he should be. The Ibn Ezra has a poem that he has no mazel. If he sold candles, the sun would never set. If he sold shrouds, people would never die. There's another poem like that. Basi lebeis asar, amru kvar rachav. Basi leis erev, amru kvar shachav. O rachav merkav, o shachav mishkav, maye aseba adam shenalad beli kochav. Basically, I'm trying to meet somebody. I came in the morning, he already left. I came at night, he already went to sleep. He either went to sleep or he already left. What should be done with a person who has no star? Star meaning a mazel. Like, I have no mazel. He had no mazel. It was a great chacham klal Yisrael. That was his riches. But the Ibn Ezra in his material life had no mazel. So it's an idea like that. And says the Vilna Gaon, mazel is symbolized by the sun. So what Yonah is seeking to do, again at this remez level, is get away from the world of that's tachas hamazel. Vayeta Yonah min ha'ir. Yonah leaves the city. What does that mean symbolically? Ki rosh Hashem lo shama tefilasav. Hashem didn't answer his tefillah. He's in an austere situation. Piresh atzma min ha'olam hazeh. Vayesha mikedem li'ir. He went out of the city means he went away from everything mundane. He went away from everything even having to do with regular society. She yoshev lasok ba'torah. She nivres kodam olam hazeh. He went to study Torah. It says in the pasuk Mikedem. Mikedem can mean from before. He went to engage in the activity that's before the world, before the city. What's before the city? The Torah. And he made a sukkah, and he sat in its shade. By the way, shade, sail is gematria 120, and there's an allusion. I told you some say that Ashur was actually destroyed 120 years after this. We spoke last time about the beginning of the prophecy of Nachum, starts with a vision on Nineveh. But anyway, and that's the idea of a sukkah. Sukkah has to be tzilasa merubah mechamasa, not too much sun, not too much teva, not too much that falls under Hashem's mazel. I'm reading from the Gaon. Va'inyan ki kol masa olam hazeh v'ashru v'tuva hakol min ha-shemesh. All of the fortune in this world, all from the shemesh. That's what Chazal see, mean when they say that it all depends on mazel. The position of the sun when certain things happening. Yeah. So Hashem is protecting him. He's putting him in the shade. Yonah knows that his job is to get away from anything this worldly. It's time for intense tshuva. And Hashem says, okay, I'll also protect you from the sun. According to the Vilna Gaon, the whole symbolism in this story about being protected from the sun, it's not just talking about the physical sun, it's being protected from mazel and the hardships that a person could face in his life. And there was something else I wanted to cover before we read to the end. I've quoted a couple of times last week from the Sefer Beis Elokim, which is the Mabit, Rav Moshe Ben Yishai of Trani. It's very important to read the Mabit when you study Sefer Yonah. So, in the Shar HaTshuva, Perek Yodalat, at the end, he talks about how the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, which is really what tshuva was created for, as we learned last time. Klal Yisrael has a higher calling and has more mitzvahs. They're the ones who need tshuva. The nations of the world apparently can dip into tshuva once it's created for the Jewish people, but primarily it's there for the Jews. Because of that, so therefore he says that there's a difference in the way tshuva is accepted. And he points this out by looking and say, for Yonah, says, they did tshuva, v'yilbishu sakam, migdolim v'aktana. Every single last person in Nineveh did tshuva. You might think that's a lesson for us. That's the way tshuva has to be. And if it's not like that, it's no good. He actually gives us an encouraging lesson. He says, that's by umos ha'olam, that's by the nations of the world. But by Klal Yisrael, the tshuva of some can be as chus for others. Ki tshuvas haraba mi Yisrael mo elas lepratim. The tshuva of the masses in Klal Yisrael helps even for the individuals. Mehem she'enam shavim, who didn't do tshuva. Right, we have this whole idea, you know, when we begin Yom Kippur, we make an announcement that we hereby declare that the sinners can join us. And Chazal say any tzom that doesn't have some of the sinners there too is not a proper fast day. And when we say sinners, it doesn't mean because we're confident they're going to do full tshuva. It means we want them to share and benefit from the collective tshuva. Uzchus harabim tamod lahem. Shelo yisafu ba'avon ba'olam hazeh. The merit of the masses doing tshuva will help them that they shouldn't be destroyed because of their sins. Not that they should hold out forever like that. Hopefully they'll take it to heart and do tshuva themselves, but at least to get them over, at least to tide them over, even if they don't do tshuva, the tshuva of others can help for them. So, and he says that's the idea of the Dalad Minim, which makes it very poignant. We go from reading Maftar Yonah to the end of Yom Kippur, and Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and then L'kachtem L'chem Bayom HaRishon. What's the symbol, the most basic symbol of all the kids in school know of the Lulav and Esrog? Is that you have different types of Jews, and some of them don't have that much merit, but you hold them all together and it works. Says the Mabit, that's unique to Klal Yisrael. In Nineveh, when they did tshuva, it had to be Migdolim V'Aktanim. To whatever extent they did tshuva and it was going to work for them, it had to be Migdolim V'Aktanim. So we're walking away with this irony. On the one hand, Hashem expects less from, and this is true, he expects less from the nations of the world, and on the other hand, they have to do it more. Every one of them has to do tshuva, but I don't have such high hopes what their tshuva is. When it comes to Yonah, it comes to the Yid, I have a higher calling for me as a shlichus, but Hashem says, but I'm much more flexible, and there's this chus of a rabbin working for the Yechidim. I'll just read to the end of the sefer, I really have to leave if somebody coming soon, but Pasuk, Yud Vayomer Hashem, Ato Chastal Kikayin Ashalo Amalto Bavali Gidalto, you were chus. The Malbim has the Yisod chus, or chus, as opposed to rachaim, means at a practical level. If you didn't want to throw out the leftovers, that's chus. If you didn't want to harm your child, that's rachaim. It's not that I feel bad for the potatoes, it's just a waste. According to the Malbim, chus as opposed to rachaim is at a practical level, it's a shame. It's a waste. It's to spare something rather than to have mercy on something. So you atochast al kikoyon, you felt it was a shame to waste this kikoyon. Asher lo amalto, you didn't even work on it. Velo gidalto, you didn't raise it. Shevin leila hayo, vin leila avad. Then one night it was here, one night it was gone. Yeralah vanila achus al Nineveh ira gedolin. I shouldn't have mercy on Nineveh, the great city. Asher yesh baharbe mishteim esrei ribo, that has more than 120,000 adam. Asher lo yada ben yamina lismolo v'heima rabbe, is more than that number of, probably means children who don't know between their right and their left. And many animals. So what's the message then? Yonah's upset. Why do you accept their tshuva when it's incomplete? Where's the answer? Where's the resolution to this? The Malbim and others say Lo Yada Ben Yamin L'Smol. Lo Yamin means mitzvah. Smol means yetzahara. Some people their sense of morality is very, very primitive, and Hashem doesn't expect much more. If Hashem accepts a minimal tshuva for them, it's because they don't know. And that, says the Malbim, is what he's telling him is different with Klal Yisrael. From Klal Yisrael is Yod'im Benyaminon L'Smolam. The Jewish people have been told the difference between right and left. They know the difference between right and wrong. If you want to know why I'm so quick to forgive them, and I'm not so quick to forgive you, it's because you're my Amon Nifcha that I gave the Torah to, and therefore I expect more. Okay? And the Abarbanel, at the end of his commentary on all this, mentions that when we read this in shul on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, v'hine mesaknei haftarah samchu l'nevuah zos shlosh psukim acherim, they added three more psukim. We don't end uvehima rabbah. We don't end that way. We add on Mikael kama, oh, who is God like you? No se avin ro'ro pesha. L'she'eris nachalaso. We cite psukim about the way Hashem forgives His nation. When you read it, you feel it very much. This is a nation from the nations of the world. Nineveh is not a Jewish city. And then we add to this haftarah, who is like you, Hashem? So let me read to you the way the Abar Ben El puts it. She'em yinevu as micha, ve'em mikel kamoch v'gomer v'inyanam. Their concept is, she'akadosh baruch hu l'ninveh lo haya over al pesha. He didn't forgive sin entirely. Mochel v'soleach behechle, to absolutely forgive. Aval herich lehem apo. Ad shenech revu achar kach, ayinen buchadnetzah. They were wiped out later. They bought time, but it wasn't a complete kapara. Aval Yisrael, but the Klai Yisrael, b'shuva me'elav, when they returned to him, eino kein. It's not so. Who knows say avon v'over al pesha lachalutin. He forgives them entirely. Yonah, you're all upset. You're upset that I accepted a minimal tshuva from them, because Yonah, you don't have the benefit of seeing the course of time the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. The real answer is, they did a minimal tshuva and they got a minimal kapara. Klal Yisrael does a real tshuva. I expect more from them and I give more to them. Their tshuva is complete. And that's why we put in this pasuk, L'she'eris nachalaso, for the remnant of his nachala, his nation, that's his heritage, that's Klal Yisrael. So actually what looked to Yonah like something negative for Klal Yisrael, ultimately the lesson that we try to take away when we read this is that no, what looks can be deceiving, and for Klal Yisrael it's actually better. May we be zochet to tshuva shalema.